So one of Nasser's most famous pieces is called Kuntres HaChesed. Kuntres HaChesed, he really goes to the top of Chesed in its depth, but from a perspective, not just like how to do Chesed, why is Chesed good, but really describing Chesed as the most central trait in Avodas Hashem. And we'll see in a minute, but he describes everyone can either be a taker or a giver. And it's an essential aspect of a person. He says that being a taker is the root of all evil, and being a giver is the root of all good. And we're going to see how that plays out. But he, in this piece, he speaks about just the central trait of chesed and how it really impacts the entire person, the attitude, the focus, and why it really becomes the source of all good in life. It's really a classic piece on chesed and a classic piece understanding our role in this world. It's a very important piece. So we'll begin again. It's page 32, but I think it's covered up by a note on the copies. But it says chesed on top, kuntres chesed. And just in the note on the bottom, it always gives you the source for where this came from, because Rav Dessler didn't put this all together at once. These are all different lectures he gave throughout his lifetime. So it says this is actually the fruits of his labor over many, many years. He began writing this when he was still in Kelm. This is, you know, before the war. And it was a very, very precious topic for Rav Dessler. And it really, he really set it apart as his own special discussion beyond the rest of his notes and his shiurim. So it's a very essential part of his teachings and something I think we'll gain a lot from. So let's begin. Perek Rishon, Yedaber Benosin Venotel. So first, let's discuss the idea of being a giver or a taker. Kasher Bara Elokim Asa Adam. When Hashem created man, Asa Venosin Venotel. He made man into a giver and a taker. Those are two traits that we have within ourselves. Koach ha-nesina hu koach elyon mimidos yotzer kol baruch hu. So giving is one of Hashem's midos, one of the very high, lofty midos of Hashem. Shemarachim meiti venosin. Hashem has mercy, he does good, and he gives. Miblik gam kabel davar betura, with no, nothing in return. Hashem gets nothing out of us. We quote the pasuk in Eov, it says in Eov, if we do good, what do we give to Hashem? So our actions don't give any good to Hashem, and if we do bad, it doesn't hurt Hashem. So when Hashem does good for us, it's pure good without anything in return. Rather, it's just that we give Hashem our gratitude. This is the root of our avoda. So Hashem gains nothing out of doing good for us. But our job is to recognize Hashem and be gratitude. That's the job of the human being. That's an essential trait of what it means to be alive, is to give thanks to God for putting us here and giving us everything that we have. But he's describing that chesed, meaning being a giver, that is an essential trait of Hashem. And in truth, we'll see further, this is actually the base, the world is built on Hashem's giving to us. It's really the foundation of the world. The kach asa ha'adam, and this is how Hashem made man, and we know that man is made in the image of God. So just like Hashem gives, so too we're made to give. That's who we are. We say we are Tzelem Elokim, we're supposed to follow in Hashem's image. We are Hashem's image. If you want to define one of the, I guess the most central aspect of Hashem is Hashem gives. That's what Hashem does. It's a famous idea of the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, which we'll talk about later on, that Hashem made the world in order to give. He has a famous phrase, Derech HaTov LaHeitiv. Hashem is good. Being good means doing good. So if you are good and you don't do good, you're not fully good. Being good means to do good. So Hashem makes a world, kevyachol, so that he can actually not just be good, he can do good. He has people to do good too. And therefore, Hashem's, again, the most basic trait of the creation of the world was Hashem wanted to give to us. Do chesed. Olam chesed ibane. The world's built on chesed. The foundation of the world is Hashem's drive, kevyachol, to give to the human being. So that's the giving. Avakocha netila, hu asher yis'avel adam limshuch elav eskola ba'ad b'tchuma. But there's the opposite mida, which is taking, being a taker. And being a taker means that you want everything to become yours. You have this great desire, this taiva, to take everything into your own possession. Koach zehu asher yikra'uhu b'nei adam ahavas asma. We call this loving ourselves. V'shorash kol ros. This is the root of all evil. And when we think about it, doesn't this mean possessions? It means that everything is for me. I want you to serve me. I want that pleasure. I want that money. I want that item. I want that honor. Everything is about me. Everything should be to me, taken to me, become mine. And that's the idea of being a no-till. So the root of all evil, and he'll elaborate on this more, is taking, and the root of all good is to give. It's a very fascinating idea, but really, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Because all bad is rooted in the fact that I'm selfish and I want to do what's best for me. And all good is rooted in the fact that I want to be able to do good unto others. And that's where it all comes from. So he continues, Yisrasher yikach v'sham umah. Some people just take and they don't repay at all. So what do you call that? That's a goslin. That's a thief. Because that's by definition. You're taking without giving anything in return. Im bekoach gigzol. That's if you do it by force. Oganav, or you could be considered a ganav. Im bevlidas abayal mikach. So we know in halacha we have this distinction between a ganav and a goslin. A goslin takes by force. A ganav takes in secret. But both of them are taking without giving anything back. O ramai, or you can be you can deceive. You can be a con artist. That you steal somebody's das, their understanding, you trick them, and therefore you fool them into giving you something. So within these different destructive traits, there's general issues and more specific issues, which she's going to get to in a second. But you have people that take as gazlanim, or as ganavim, or as ramayim, three different categories. You take by force, you take in secret, or you deceive and trick. So number one, he says, Aklalim, what are the general aspects of being a taker? Osei amilchamos. So people who make wars, you're not making a war to defend, you're making a war to conquer. Because you want that land, you want that power, you want that control, you want their resources. So that war is in order to take. Rotzchei amim. People who are involved in genocide. It's because you want these people out of your way, because you want everything to go like you want. Vein shofet lama ba'adam. Zuas kelis v'arach levados. People on this level, human beings are not able really to judge them. Only Hashem can take care of these people. I mean, you have this great big war machine. So unless you could defeat them militarily, who's left to judge them? Hashem's left to judge them. Both of these are people on a very general level that are out there to take for themselves, and only do that which is best for them, even though it might be at the expense of millions of people's lives. And we've seen that, unfortunately, too many times historically. And then you have the specific instances of taking. Hapratiyim, asher miyachidim yigzolu. So you have people who steal from individuals. Hema asher samu lehem b'nei adam shoftim lanisham. So we appoint judges to prosecute these people and punish them. L'mani zan samar shasam, or to be saved from their evil. And we try to teach people to understand what's actually just and what's right. So people are actually ashamed to do bad. So even if you punish a thief and you teach him that, stealing is wrong and you should be ashamed to steal, ultimately he's still a taker. I mean, he may hold himself back. He may refrain from any further stealing at that point, page 33, but yet he's still a taker. You haven't changed the mida. You haven't changed the person. So you can't believe or trust in a person or in civilization. Because under the cloak of civility, people still are takers, and they want to deceive and steal and murder. And so some are able to hold back that urge and some aren't. But ultimately, if you have that mida, then the civilization has a problem. Chazal teaches us in Avos, in one line, this reality. It says in Avos, you should respect the government. You should give thanks and respect the government. Why? Because if not for the fear of the government, we'd swallow each other alive. Because if we're just takers, we want everything for ourselves. So what's holding us back? We don't want to go to jail. We don't want to be punished. We don't want to be outcasts. But ultimately, if we were left to our own to our own volitions, we would do whatever we wanted to. We would just eat each other up, and like animals do, and just take what we wanted. That's what we would do. So human beings have a little bit more self-control than animals, and we hold back. But the mida within, just to take everything for ourselves, is there. So it says you should daven for the shlomo shel malchus. You should daven for the peace of the malchus, because without them, we'd be in big trouble. There was no government, no court system, no prisons, no police force. It's anarchy. And we see what happens in countries like that. Everyone just, you know, you start fighting and taking everything you want, and, you know, and you're looting all the stores and killing out each other and taking everybody's property because it's just real below, because you'd swallow each other alive had it not been for the fear of the government. But that's showing an underlying mida in society, which is take, take, take. Everything is for me. I should take. I want everything. So this is an issue with being takers on a more specific level. So there are people out there that they don't take anything inappropriately. But yet they do like to be takers, such as receiving gifts. So many of us say, okay, I would never steal chas v'shalom. I'm not going to trick anybody. I'm not going to be a con artist. I'm a very honest person. But I love a free gift. I love when people give me things. Let's win the lottery. So those are all things that are taking. That means I'm enjoying taking in life. But oave matanos, I love getting gifts, veirushos, or inheritance, to tzedaka. I don't mind receiving tzedaka handouts. No, I'm okay with having to collect tzedaka. Vave abetza, you love wealth, veravachim agadolim, making big profits off of others. So those are all midos of taking. They're not as bad as being a thief, obviously, or a con artist. I mean, these are legal, these are mutter. But they're not considered positive midos. It says in Mishlei, we'll see in a second, hating, if you hate gifts, you live. These people are still considered takers. So even though they're doing it in a mutter fashion, it's not, what they're doing is not evil, it's not wrong, it's still taking. The wisest of all men says about these people, if you hate gifts, that then you live. The true chiyus in a person comes when you work hard to achieve what you gain, not when you receive free handouts. So he's pointing out there's idea of being a taker. So we think, you know, this is beyond us. We're not thieves. We're not murderers. We don't fight big wars. That's not who we are. But we all appreciate a free handout, you know, free gifts, free samples. These are all good things that we like. Shnei kochos eila and nesina v'natila. But Rav Dessler says these two different kochos in a person, giving and taking. This is the roots of all midos and all actions. So the root of all is, am I a giver at my core, or am I a taker at my core? Is it about me, about what I can have, what I can get, what I can gain, or is it about what I can do, what I can give? So he says an interesting thing. In most midos, there's an idea of striking a balance. You know, you can be somebody who, you know, I don't have like a very, very severe temper, but, you know, sometimes things do get me upset, rightfully so. You know, I'm generous, but I'm not foolish with my money. You know, you reach a sort of like a happy medium between two meals. You're supposed to, you know, the middle ground, the golden road. But he says when it comes to giving or taking, you're one or the other. You're either a giver or you're a taker at your core. Because a person's nefesh will always strive for one of these two things. So it's really, it's an essential mida, and it's one or the other. Either you're a taker at your core, or a giver at your core. And when it comes to the true desire of the heart, there's no compromise. I mean, compromise comes on a much higher level of a person. We're dealing with, okay, mido, self-control, what do? How do I react? When it comes to the core, there's no compromise. You're one or the other. And this is the core of a person. Zeklal, this is the rule. Eim amutza behis anyanus. When it comes to things which are your deepest interests or desires, there's no middle ground. Nimsa shebichol maisa, bichol dibor, bichol nafshava. So in every action we do, in every speech, in every thought, ilo ben ogel pnimius nafshem ibli shaychos mesiyos mechutzelo. If it's not something if it's something which is dealing with you, less of a deal is dealing with you and nothing to the outside. I mean, things that have to do only within the inside, that's a different discussion. You're not dealing with the outside yourself. But as soon as you're interacting with the world around you, it's going to be one or the other. You know, in this chasiv and osin, either the interaction is going to be to give and do chesed, or it's going to be to take. And he's going to give lots more examples of this and elaborate on what it means. So Chavos Vosa says a very similar thing, very interesting thing. He says that when it comes to the core of the heart, there aren't things that are just sort of like middle ground, optional things. Either it's something which is obligatory or forbidden. I mean, when it comes to the core of the person, either your attitude is I'm pushing forth into those things in life which I must do, or it's things which I cannot do. But there's no like, in the heart, there's no like, okay, maybe it's okay, it's not okay, because it's the core of who you are. It's your deepest desires. So we'll see more about the pasuk we said before. Hating gifts, you'll live. And this we explain later on. He says on page 46 as we go through the Kuntz Chesed. So this first parak is giving us the basis, the intro of what we're about to talk about, which is that, and it's hard for us to understand at the moment. He's going to explain much more. But every single person at the heart is either a giver or a taker. So we say to ourselves, well, you know, I give sometimes, I take sometimes, but I don't have to, like, define myself as one or the other. But we're going to see how sometimes giving is actually taking, and taking can actually be giving. And we'll speak about it more. But sometimes I give to somebody, so I'm expecting something in return. So really the giving is for the sake of taking. Or sometimes I take something from you because I know you'll feel good about it, so my taking is actually a giving. So even though I might do both, but what's driving me at my core is going to be one or the other. And the roots, and these are the roots of all good or bad actions in life. It's a central point of a human being. So he's going to explain more about how this sort of plays out in everyday life, and I think we'll understand it better this way. Look at Perek Sheni. Masa Matin. Hine, Yishalunu Hasokrim Bale Masa V'Matin. So people who own stores, merchants, if they were to ask, Atim Omer She'ach Hanasina Hi Tova. You're telling me the only giving is good. Now, I own a store. I mean, to make profits. That's what a store is for. In your modern type of store, you're allowed to make profits. But you're telling me only giving is good. And all taking is bad. So the person involved in business says, this is going to disrupt the entire world. How could that be? Hashem made people they should both give and take. That's how the world is. We call this, you know, business is masa matan. It's a give and take. That's how we understand it. And the idea of an economy is people are buying, people are selling, there's money going back and forth. That's how life works. And we give to others, we take from others. So what do you mean that like the world's only about giving? Then the world can't even function. If we're all to give and there's nobody to take, it would disrupt the way that the Seder Ha'olam, the way the world works. Isn't a person kind of like both? Why can't you give and take at the same time? What does it mean I have to be a taker or a giver? And this is a central question. You must define yourself as one or the other. And he's saying it's the core of the person. And the core of the person, you can't have any sort of like wishy-washy middle ground. It's going to be you're this or you're that. So how does that work out in life? So he explains the following. Aval emes tore darka. He says, truth will explain the following. Higam be'eilu shnei minim hema. Because even amongst people who give and take, there's two ways to view it. Yeshisha yitlu harbe. Some people take a lot, vach me'at yisnu, but they don't give so much. Ho'hema sochrim asher ishtamshu b'chol mikro l'harviach bo. These are people who do business, and they'll do anything they can to make a profit. They don't think about, well, is the profit I'm making really in line with the work I'm putting in? Meaning, ultimately, it doesn't sit well with us in terms of, you know, our modern sensitivities towards business. We think about it, if you're running a store, so you should think, well, I'm here to give to others. I'm not here for a profit. So I have to make money because I have to be able to support myself, but I'm not here just to take, I'm here to do good for others. So maybe my prices, the way I run my business, should be very much, you know, parallel to the amount of effort I'm putting into it. If I'm only putting in so much effort, so why should I charge so much money? Let me give them a good deal so they can take, and I can still make some money off of it. So it's an attitude that we don't really see much in the real world around us. But we'll bring examples of this soon of people who actually function in that way. Great people. But the idea is that if you're thinking about others within your business, it's not just about my profits, it's about I'm here to help people as well. Because essentially a store is helping people, because you need that store to be there, because you need food, you need clothing, you need to be able to buy things. So a store is helping others, and within that store, even if you're there for profits, which is obviously is the role of running a business, you don't have to say, I'm going to make the maximum profits possible. Why do you have to think that way? I'm going to make profits that I need and do what I can to, so others also can take from it. Then he says further, he says, because some people, they'll take any opportunity they can to make a profit. They're very happy to benefit from the mistakes of others or the ignorance of others. If a customer comes in and they don't really understand the products, so you could pull fast on them. You could say, I think you should buy this one, even though it's more expensive. Really, there's no reason why you should buy one, but you can convince them anyways, because why not? I'm here for the profit. I'm not stealing. They're paying for it. You know, they could use the... I'm not doing anything wrong. It's a fine product. You know, somebody makes a mistake, a price mistake, instead of being honest about it, I'm very excited about it, then I'll go and make profit off of it. So there, I'm looking out only for my own personal gain. So, seemingly, what you're doing there is deception, though. Because if it's not for the best benefit of your customer, it's not in their best interest, so what you're doing, you're deceiving them. It's not for them, it's for you. It's because you're trying to take. So, certainly people who do a lot of business, and they make profits of others working, let's say through charging interest, for instance, or they pay very low salaries to their workers and make them very, very hard. So yeah, you can get away with it. You can get cheap labor. But is that right? Is that actually considering other people in your business? So yeah, cheap labor is good for you to make a good profit. And maybe it's legal. You're paying the minimum wage. And you're working them as the contract says. But are you considering other people in that agreement? Are they being considered, or are they just being used as tools for you to take more? That's the question. So you have, historically, you have nowadays also, people who will actually take in other nations and work them. Old time wars where they would enslave the other country. So it's helping out yourself and your nation, but you're causing people to suffer through working them so hard. So these types of people, their taking is very large, and their giving is very minimal. And in the other words, so what's driving them is taking. They have to give so they can take. I mean, if they don't pay the workers, they don't have any workers at all. So they have to give them something. You know, if you don't have any customers that trust you, so then your business is going to fail. So you have to do good to some customers. But ultimately, the goal in everything you're doing is to take. And the giving being done, which is minimal, is just to enable you to take more. So he says even further, Zos, page 34. So furthermore, Gam ha-ma'at asher yitnu, even the little they give, Ein shorsho betov, it's not rooted in good. B'kochan asina, through giving, Amekor raya bia, comes from a bad source. B'kochan atila, from taking. Halo kol shifasa machshev osem atila yidbeku, because all your thoughts, all your plans, is to take, make more money, and whatever you give, you're giving so you can get back, sevenfold. You're trying to get back much more than you give. So like I said, you'll pay your workers, but that's because you're expecting them to put in a lot of work so you can make more money. So you are, you're selling to customers, but that's because you're hoping they'll come back and give you even more and more in their business, even when they don't need any more products. So let's say the storekeeper will give his merchandise to make profit. And even when you give something good to a customer, so you can make profits. So let's say you're doing it honestly, and you're not deceiving anybody, and you're paying your workers right. But ultimately, what's the deepest desire in you running this business? It's to take from the people giving it to you. So even if you're doing it right, and there's nothing wrong about, nothing immoral, nothing unethical, nothing dishonest, no stealing, no deceiving, it's still coming from a place within yourself that I want to take and make money. So it's not usser, it's not an avera, but it's a mida which is no good, as we'll explain. And then there's even a worse thing, he says. Vish ora gadol v'keila. There's even a worse evil. Ki me'asher yish'afu el hanatila. When you desire to take, or from the desire to take, yischaru zev, as people start competing with each other. You have competing businesses. V'chol echad yis'ameis l'mshoch el asmos kol asher yuchal. And people try to bring to themselves all they can, and not just that, to put the other out of business. So when it comes to, you know, just normal human relationships, this is normal. There's nothing wrong with business competition. It's a normal part of life. But yet competition in business can bring to much pain and much suffering. The anguish, losing a business, losing a job. It can bring people to even sickness, early death, through the stress, through the struggle. So you run a business, and there's competition. So you don't have to like give them your business, but to say I'm going to run them down to the ground and do whatever I can so they fail and I succeed, you're not thinking about other people involved. There's a human being also runs that business, and he's allowed to run a business. He speaks a lot about this idea from the Bitachon perspective. He says, you know, Hashem provides your parnasa. And you have to realize that the business down the street doesn't really impact your parnasa, because Hashem has all the money that He needs to give to you, you know, if you deserve it. So bitachon does dictate that, you know, you run your business honestly, do what you have to do. He'll run his business honestly, do what he has to do, and everyone will receive what Hashem wants them to receive. Putting your competitor out of business is not going to change your income, because Hashem can control the income. So why are you struggling to put someone out of business? Just run your store properly, and you'll get customers, and Hashem will give you what you need. That's the attitude. But this idea of competition, where it brings so much anguish and so much sorrow, it's because people start trying to one-up each other and put each other down. And when you do that, again, it's coming from a source of I'm taking, and I can't have anybody else sharing the profits with me. And it's not thinking about there's a person there who actually is running the business, and he actually has a family to support, and he has his own bills, and he has his own life, and running him out of business is not just that I can succeed, but I'm actually hurting another human being. And we don't think about it that way. So, Elohim Adarchi Amin Arishon Shemnosim Venosnim, Meshani is Barabu Drachah Verkabah. So, this is one type of person in terms of being a businessman, and this is a person who's a taker. And again, there's many ways to become a taker in business, but again, it's coming from this bad trait. So there's ways of doing it which are usur and illegal, and dishonest and immoral and ethical. That's one way to be a taker. There's ways that you're a taker even when it's honest and ethical. There's ways that you're being a taker that people would look down upon. There's ways being a taker they don't look down upon. You know, competition in business is considered normal, and no one's going to look down upon you when you try to put your competition out of business. In the world, that's considered a very typical, normal thing. But we're in the midos of a person. Where is it coming from? From a bad place, not a good place. So now let's take the flip side. The flip side is the givers. And we're going to explain what it means to be a giver in business. So, the ways of tzaddikim are the following. Nasinasam rabba, they give a lot. And nasilasam mu'etas, and they take a little. And even that which they take, it's because they have to. In order so they can give. I mean, very simply, if you take nothing, then you can't give anything. On the one hand, the person could be sick and starve to death, chas v'shalom, because you don't take anything, you have no income, you have no food. On the other hand, you can't be a giver if you don't have anything to give. So let's say if I run a business and my goal is I want this to do good for others, but if the business fails, then I can't have a business. I have to take in money so I can run a business, but the whole point is that I want to be able to give to others. If I don't have food to eat, then I don't have the strength to give to others. So the taking is for the sake of giving. Nimtzeis omer ki gam netilasam imekor kadosh yasa. So for these people, even their taking is from a holy source. It's from a positive source, because the taking is in order to give. Mechefetz hanesina, it's because of the desire to give. V'layigu bara b'koch hanatila le'olamim. And they won't ever touch evil through natila, because even their taking is giving. So you might think, oh, but they're taking. The answer is, yeah, the taking is considered giving. They're taking in order to give. That is called giving. Hakadoshim sheba'aratema devekim minas kona m'chol nyanehem. And these people who are always clinging davuk and Hashem's midos, so everything they did was for the sake of giving, even when they take. I mean, even Hashem, kevyachol, He takes from us. I mean, we're able to do mitzvos, and we're able to daven, and we're able to thank Hashem, and He receives it. Not because He needs it, but because He knows that receiving it is giving to us. When He receives from us, He's able to give to us. So it doesn't do anything for Him, but it's a taking in order to give, because then we get schus, we get schar, we get the good feedback from Hashem, then we get brachos in life, and that's because Hashem has taken in our mitzvos and gives back to us. There's a very fascinating halacha that the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses. The Kiddushin works that a man has to give something to the woman, and she becomes married. So he gives her a ring as our minhag, you can give her money, whatever it is, anything worth a pruta can be given to a woman for the sake of Kiddushin, and she's a married woman. So the Gemara says there is an instance where the woman can give to the man, and she become married. What's that instance? If the man that she's giving to is an Adam Chashuv, he's somebody who's a very well-known, prominent person. And when he receives a gift from somebody, the giver feels so good because this person took my gift. Imagine you're able to go in to the Gadol Hador and give him a gift. And he takes it and he gives you a smile. Thank you so much. It means so much to me. You would feel like $1 million. So there, even though the man received, that's considered giving to the woman, because the feeling that she got, that this Adam Chashuv received her gift, made her feel so good, that was worth money. And therefore she's married. Because that's an idea, that sometimes receiving something can actually be giving to somebody else. You know, somebody, your spouse, your child, wants to come give you a gift. And you don't really care for the gift or want the gift. But if you say, I don't want it, they're going to be offended. So you take it, and you say, thank you so much, so meaningful to me, I really appreciate it, you know. So the person who gave it to you feels great. So are you a taker or are you a giver in that situation? You're a giver. Because you took the gift, not because you cared about the gift, because you wanted the person who gave it to you to feel good about themselves. So that's taking, which is actually giving. It's a very significant thing. So you have that in the halacha of Kiddushin, which shows that it's not just a nice feeling, but there's actually a monetary worth to that, according to the Gemara. But we know it in life. We experience it in life. You know, I know some of you here are teachers. So the kid comes and gives you this little tiny gift. So you say, thank you so much. It's so special. You know, my little 3-year-old will color a picture for me with all these scribbles. Here you go, Abba, right? So like, oh, this is so ugly. You're like, no, you say, thank you so much. It's so special. And the kid feels great, like $1 million. So that was giving to the kid. Even though you took it, you're giving to the kid. So he says this. So taking can come from a holy source because the goal of the taking is to give. So either it enables you to give, or it actually is giving. So if we were to translate it into business, so let's take some examples. Again, I don't know if anyone here is involved in business, but the point is we can kind of learn. We learn from these examples over here. These are all different paradigms for us. So how in business could it be considered giving? I mean, why do you open a store? To make money. That's the purpose of the store, because you need to make a parnasa. So how could that be giving? So he quotes here, having a stack of a meisah shnei gedolim. Let's look at stories of two gedolim. Ha'echa min yoser kedumim. One is very early on historically. V'asheni mi'achronei ha'achronim. And the second one was very close to our generation. V'imtzas derech yeshar rakim b'misilasam neilech l'nikashu l'olamim. And if we can follow in their straight path, then we won't stumble. So we're going to quote two stories here of great gedolim and how their business was a store of giving, even though it was a business. And these are two paradigms for us to learn how we should connect ourselves in life. So the first one, he said, was a very early person, Chanuch. Chanuch, one of the first men to ever live on the face of the earth, in Bereshis. Chanuch was one of the generations between Adam and Noach, so very early on. And the Torah says, B'Torah Kasuv, Yishalech, Chanuch Es Elokim. So it says in the Torah that Chanuch walked with God. So Chazal tells us a very interesting thing. What was Chanuch's profession? He was a shoemaker. He used to stitch shoes. That was his job. So the Medrash says this interesting language. It says that on every single stitch that Chanuch made, he would be miyachid yichudim. He would, he would focus on unity to a Kosh Baruch Hu. That's how you would, I guess, translate the words. He would devote himself to unity for Hashem. So typically, the way people understand this line is that he would have these like Kabbalistic intentions as he made the shoes. His mind was up in the Shemayim somewhere, even though he was stitching shoes. That's the typical understanding of it. But Rav Yisrael Salvanter has a very different understanding of it, a very fascinating and practical understanding. B'shemati b'shem Rabbeinu Yisrael Misalant. Rav Yisrael Salvanter said the following point. Shabir ha-maimer hazeh bir nechmad. He gave a beautiful explanation for this idea in the Medrash. Biomar, he said, it doesn't mean that as he made the shoes, his mind was up there in the holy realms of, you know, in Shemayim. It doesn't mean that. Why? So that's what he did. This would be usher to do. If you're working a job, you have to focus on your work. You can't be like up there in Shemayim floating around with the malachim as you're doing your job, because then you're going to mess up on the job. You're being paid by somebody to do work. How are you allowed, lahalacha, to divert your mind to something else, when you're doing a job you're hired for? Someone paid you money to make shoes. If you're not focusing on the work, you're a goslin. You're taking money and not doing your best job. So Chanuch would not be allowed to focus on Kabbalistic intentions as he made his shoes, and why would Chazal praise him for that? So Rishon Salanter says like this, what was this focus that Chanuch had as he made his shoes? Hu asher sam alibo umachshavaso b'chol tfira utfira ketiyatova v'chazaka, page 35. So he would focus 100% on every single stitch that it should be good and strong. I mean, Rishon Salanter says that Chanuch's miyached yichudim was that he would be totally focused on the job at hand. He would not space out, he would not get involved just in routine, you know, I just sew all day long, I'm just keep on doing this. Every single stitch he made sure it was the best stitch he could possibly make. Why? He wanted to make sure the shoes were good. Why? So the people who bought the shoes would actually enjoy the shoes. So Chanuch was being paid for this job. I mean, he was a shoemaker and they're paying him for the shoes. So you see, he's making profit. This is Parnassus, so he's taking. The answer is no, because he it's the other way around. No, he wants to help people out. Giving them good shoes is helping them out. Your shoes are strong, they're sturdy, they're comfortable, that's helping them out. He needs to make a Parnassus so he can help other people. So he took money for making the shoes, but he didn't just say, okay, I'm going to get by in the minimal possible because I made my money, and even though I only got paid $30, so therefore I'll make lousy shoes. He's going to say, no, I'm going to put in my best efforts making the best shoes I possibly can, and therefore the person who wears the shoes will actually benefit from them and feel good about the shoes. Kacha dava Chanuch minas kono. So this is how Chanuch became, he clinged to Hashem's midos. So that Hashem's midos are to give and to benefit others. So the Pasuk says a very astounding statement about Chanuch. A very rare statement. Chanuch walked with God. You know, the Chanuch is not a very high level person. But not because he had all these, you know, Kabbalistic, you know, heavenly thoughts in his head as he worked, because his focus was to do good to others. And even when he's on the job making shoes, his focus was, I'm going to make sure these are the best shoes possible so my customers are happy. Not because I want more customers, but because I want them to enjoy them. That's why. He didn't want anything else except for his one desire, to cling to Hashem's traits, which was to do good for others. And furthermore, he made sure that there was no, he didn't overcharge, he didn't deceive his customers. And he didn't take any extra money that was, you know, more than the work, the quality of work that he did. So it's an amazing thing. Chanuch was somebody who took money like you're supposed to, but he was considered 100% giver in that taking of the money, because everything he did was for the sake of his customers benefiting from his work that he did. So that's one story. So it gives you the idea, it gives you a real paradigm of what it means to be a giver, even in the world where we have to take things. We're supposed to take things. But it's all about, well, what's my intention? And really any job is like this. Any job a person is actually working at, ultimately you're trying to produce something for somebody else. A service, a product, something. So the goal could just be, I'm in it for the money. Or the goal could be, you know, I need to make money. But I want to help others out. This product I'm making, the service I'm offering, should be a helpful, beneficial service to other people. That's ultimately what a person is going for. It's very interesting. Chazal speak about how a gambler is pasul for edus. A gambler cannot give testimony in a beis din. And the Gemara has a few reasons why. And the one reason why is because it says a gambler is eino oseh b'shilo sh'olam. A gambler is not involved in the settlement of the world. Meaning a gambler is the one job where your money that you make is to no benefit of anybody else. There's no product I offered, no service I did, it wasn't an investment in anybody else, it wasn't giving capital to a business, it wasn't doing anything. But I made money off of it. So I'm not involved in the world, in the function of the world. I'm just totally removed from it because I'm making money, but my making money has zero to do with anybody else. It's just money coming to me with no benefits to the world. So that person is pasul for edus. That's the Mishnah says. But any other job, I think, besides being a gambler, if it's a real job, there is something you're offering the world. People are paying you for a service for a reason. And therefore, if you're doing that and having in mind, well, I'm here to help others, and I hope that my service or my product is here to make others feel good and benefit and live more comfortable lives or, you know, heal or whatever you're offering, so then that taking is giving. Because I'm taking money because I need it, but ultimately it's so I can give. So that's story number one. Now he gives another story, much more in modern days. Hamaisa Sheni is a famous story. Yisabro Rabbeinu Yisrael Meir HaKohen, Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim, now we're going, you know, 5,000 years post Chanoch into the Chofetz Chaim's time, which is just, you know, 100 years ago. And the Chofetz Chaim also was well known for his tzedkus and the way he ran his business. Hello, Ozachin Rosas at Sadik Akadosh Zebedurenu. So Rav Dessler says, in our generation, in his generation, we are zochet to be alive with the Chofetz Chaim. Hulo Chofetz Lisparnes B'Torasso. So Chofetz Chaim was somebody who did not want to make pranas off his learning. Chofetz Chaim, you know, could have taken a job as a rabbi, could have sold more svarim, but he didn't want to make money off of Torah. He felt that was the wrong thing to do, so he owned the store. Pahil Chavani. So Chofetz Chaim, despite the fact that he was the Gadol Hador, and that he wrote very famous svarim, and that the whole world came to him for advice, he said, I'm not taking any money from Torah, so I'm going to open a store to make a parnasa. I think that his wife worked at the store mostly, more than him, from what I know from the stories, but he owned the store, he ran the store, he helped out in the store. So imagine Chofetz Chaim's store. Like, who wouldn't want to shop there? Like, everyone would go shop in his store, because, I mean, despite the fact, you're supporting the Gadol Hador, you know his honesty was, like, impeccable. Like, you know the products being sold are going to be at the rock-bottom prices. That gave you the best store in the world. So he ran this store, and that's what happened. Haskara Shemachar Esam Ula. He sold great merchandise, because Chofetz Chaim wasn't going to sell you anything lousy. He wanted to make sure that everybody took merchandise that was good for them. Hamida Gadusha. The measurements were always precise. Hamishkol Machria Lukiach Tadar. And if he had any doubt in terms of the weight, he would always lean towards the buyer, because he was the Chofetz Chaim. He wouldn't want to take anything from anybody that had any sort of doubt that it shouldn't be his. So Kamuvan, so as understood, Naru Olav Kol Kon. So everybody came to buy at his store. It was the most popular store in town. I mean, besides that, again, you were supporting the Chofetz Chaim, you're getting great merchandise at rock bottom prices. What could be better? V'yomer Rabbeinu Yisrael Meir Zatzal. So the Chofetz Chaim got aggravated by this. So most of us would say, great, my store is full of customers. He said, what about the other storekeepers in town? I feel terrible. All the other stores in town are losing business. I don't want them to all come to me. Everyone should get customers. So what did he do? So he limited his hours in his store. He knocked down the hours to an hour or two a day. That was it. So it was not open all day long. It was open, you know, an hour or two in the afternoon or something. And so he hoped the rest of the day, if you need something, you go to the other stores, you know, come to me for my hour and I'll make my parnasa. Adei Arviach is a prutos. He says, okay, so I'll open it for an hour or two. I'll make a little money. Dai parnasasil yomo betzimtzum, just enough for me to support myself for the day. Then I'll close the store. Just that simple. Mantia parnasa mitzia gam lachem. So others can have parnasa as well, because I don't need to take, it's not all for me. I'll take what I need, and let everyone else have a little bit, a piece of the pie. So Chofetz Chaim, then he made a calculation, and he saw that it wasn't working. Because everybody just came to his store when it was open. So everyone knew, okay, 12 to 1, Chofetz Chaim's store was open, and everyone ran in. The store was packed during that hour, and the other stores didn't get any business. So Chofetz Chaim said, I can't do this anymore, and he closed his store. Out of business. So usually a store goes out of business when you have too few customers. He closed it because he had too many customers. That's the Chofetz Chaim. So he switched jobs. He said, I can't be a storekeeper. It's not fair to the other storekeepers in town. He didn't want to cause any pain to the other storekeepers. So imagine that. You have somebody who, again, he needed parnasa, which this is honest, good parnasa, totally mutter what he was doing. But he saw that my parnasa is infringing upon others. It's like unfair business because people are flocking to my store because of who I am. And all the storekeepers in town are suffering because of it. I can't have that. And he closed the store down. So again, it was his taking. He wasn't taking, he was giving. He was all about giving. That's who he was. Chazal say that benefiting from your own work is a greater thing than Yiras Shamayim. So that's actually a very interesting phrase in the Gemara, that benefiting from your own work is greater than Yiras Shamayim. We'll talk more about that as time goes on. But we see Chazal praise the idea of Yigias Kapov, of working hard for a living. But Mehi Milos and Enemy Yigias Kapov. So if we're saying that taking is no good, then why did Chazal praise those who work hard for a living? Because Chazal was saying, it's a pasuk into him, you work hard and you eat. Ashrecha v'tovloch, fortunate are you. So what are we praising about Yigias Kapov if it's bad to make money, it's bad to take? So he said, Enemy Yigias Kapov who Adam Ula. Somebody who actually benefits from his own handiwork, from working hard, is a great person. Because this person wants his giving to be greater than his taking. This person, when he guards himself, he doesn't make any mistakes. So we're being very, very meduyuk over here. We're very precise in the wording. It says the person who's an enemy gets kappa from the work of their hands. It means they're not using any other sort of skills to make extra money. Rather, they're just doing what my hands do. I mean, I'm not trying to pull any tricks. I'm not trying to outsmart somebody else. I'm not trying to use any special skills. I'm working with my hands. I'm producing what my hands can produce. Basic items, basic things. And I'm making money off of it. Because the problem is, if you're using other smarts to make money, then you may end up making more money than the value of the product, because you're just so clever in how you market it, produce it, design it. So this person instead chooses, I'm just going to work hard with my hands in a simple labor, which may not have a big salary, and the work I put in is going to be more than the salary. I mean, the way it seems to work often in life, it's not always true, is that the people who are working the hardest might end up with the lower salaries, and the people who are working easier jobs have the higher salaries. I see people in agreement out there, right? That happens out there. Teachers are one of those people, as we know, right? But the point is that you're giving more than you're receiving. That's what he's saying. A teacher certainly is giving much more than they're receiving. That's clear. And many jobs are like that. But it's a decision to make that I'm not going to try to outsmart others and get this fancy job that's going to end up making a huge salary but not really helping others out so much. I'm trying, again, these are obviously generalizations, it's not always like this. But what Chazal are praising is that you're working hard with your hands, you're not trying to make big bucks, you're trying just to do what you got to do, help others, do the right thing, make a basic salary, and move on with life. V'lamahu gadol mir shemayim. So why did Chazal compare this person and say this person is greater than one who fears Hashem? That we'll explain later on. So again, we'll get back to this Chazal later on. But the words Yigia Kapo, that you're Nehenna from your Yigia Kapo, means that I'm benefiting from my simple labor I'm doing, but I'm not trying to like outsmart others to get more money and do fancier things. And I'm not, because my goal is not to take for myself. My goal is to be able to give. That's my goal. So again, it's a generalization. There's a lot of specifics in that. You know, we're talking about a job, parnasa, salary is a discussion on its own right. And he's not to say that no one should ever become a skilled worker. You shouldn't become a doctor. Well, he's not saying that. And again, that could be a separate discussion. But the point is more in the person's mind. What's my goal in my work? Is it that I want to put in as little as I possibly can, make as much money as I can? Well, that means that I'm in it to take and not to give. Or is that I want to be able to give as much as I can, And the money should be commensurate to my giving, even less than that, because the goal is not the money, the goal is the giving, and the money is needed so that I can give even more in the future. You have people out there that will take jobs, which even though you could get a job at a place which would pay much more, but you take this job because you feel you're helping others in a greater way, or the work environment is more conducive for you to go be at home with your family. There's just decisions made that people make that say, I'm not going to make as much money so that I can therefore be more of a giver. I know that people out there in the field of law, especially in this area, have a decision to make. I have friends who've made this decision. Do you take the job at a private law firm, which in the beginning your hours are going to be ridiculous hours, you're working through the nights till 4 in the morning, you see your family for 10 minutes here and there every couple of days, or you can take a government job where the pay is much less and the opportunities for advancement are much less, but it's a 9-to-5 job, it's good benefits, you'll be home every single night, there's no all-nighters, it's a decision to make. So it's less money, but it might maybe allows you to give more to your family. Again, or maybe not. I'm not telling you how people should take, but the point is that decision is out there in many fields, and it's a question of, if my goal is to make more and more money, so then there's one path. If my goal is, no, I need to make a parnasa, but it's in order so that I can use it to give to others and do what's right, to family, to a community, to a wife, to children, so then you might take a different path. It has to do with the attitude of the person, where it's coming from. So all this is just trying to give us sort of a picture, a paradigm, what it means to be a giver versus a taker. Again, we're going to elaborate on this much more. But we see that even in the world of business, it can be a store, it can be making profits, but one person is totally a taker, one's totally a giver, and it's all a matter of the attitude you have in the store. It may not impact the parnasa at all. Hashem provides parnasa, and the parnasa might be the same, but are you in it for others or in it for yourself? And you always have to understand there's somebody else on the other side. If you're running a business, there's competition, that's a human being over there. If there's customers coming into your store, there's human beings. They're not just objects to give you money. And therefore, the way that you treat them should not be because there's money in their pockets. It's because there's somebody here I can help. And therefore, even yes, I'm going to take their money and make profit off of it, but ultimately it's because I can help them and I can help others with this money. And that's the attitude. So we'll pause there for the week. Hashem, we'll continue with this. But
thank you.